There are people who lost laptops and they never found the laptops. And God is judging, listen, judging them by how they respond to three lost laptops that will never be found. I'm trying to bring out something. Look, Christianity is not a life of impulse. It's a life of faithfulness. How to walk with God in faithfulness. Let me just complete that story. When the real person who found the thing told his story, everything that was said was not true. He never went to God and said, I paid my tithe. He said he went to his pastor and said, see what the problem is. And the pastor took his hands and prayed. He went to another man of God and they were discussing and said, see what happened. And that one took his hands and prayed. And brethren prayed with him. And God heard their prayers and recovered for him that which was lost. When somebody else was going to tell the story, he said he whipped out his checkbook and showed God, I have done my portion. Listen, he never come. Listen, oh God, I will get down to that. Get angry if you want. Your tithe doesn't rebuke nothing. This is Jesus we are talking about. This is the New Testament we're talking about. It doesn't. I will show you later that the New Testament tither is a cheerful giver. That the person that God looks at. Oh, we'll talk about the life of giving. Faithfulness. You understand my point? There is nothing beyond faith. What God wants is not do. I told you, he doesn't want James Bond. He doesn't want James Bond lifestyle. You can't give unto somebody has preached 1 hour message and promised you heaven and earth. You are not a cheerful giver. The man who cannot settle down and propose by himself is not a cheerful giver. The man who has to be motivated with what he will get personally is not a cheerful giver. God is not a mafia boss. God doesn't take protection money. I give you some money, you keep the bad goons off. Got a picture? It's business. God, come on, you do your part, I do my part. Huh? God is not from Italy. I think that's our confusion. We think God is an Italian. He said, well, what's the problem? You paid me the money? Oh, you don't pay. What do you want me to do? I mean, all the bad goons are going to come after your business. It's called the divorce. Sorry, can't do that. We think God is a mafia boss. You tip him small, he leaves you alone. Let me tell you something about God. He's a very kind person. God is not a machine, he's not a computer. He's a person. Do you get my point? He's a person. Maybe you don't understand. He's actually a father, and he loves you like an earthly father would love his son, and more than an earthly father can ever love his son. Get that point very, very, very clear. God loves, you see, I remember when my first son was born, Akinlu. As I watched him grow, I began to love my earthly father more. You know why? I said, if my father loved me half as much as I love this boy, then he's worthy of all the respect and honor that a man should ever give to his father. Because I was just considering how much love I have towards that guy. If his eyes are bad and they say, give your eyes that your son might see, as God lives, I would. And yet, I don't love him as much as God loves me. No, get into your heads. God loves you more than you love your child. He can think. Do you get my point? The only time God gets angry with a Christian, listen, I'll tell you, because he does get angry. The only time, and you will notice, if you're a father or you're a husband, you will notice, or you're a boss, once you are placed in authority, nothing annoys you more than disobedience. Listen, with God, he said, disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. I'm trying to bring out something. The only time God really gets angry with his children is when they disobey. And if you're a boss, you're a father, you're a husband, once you are somebody in authority, you will notice that nothing grieves your soul more than disobedience. And it's because of God. That's how God ordained it to be. When people disobey, that's the only... Look, it's when you refuse to agree with God that your life enters into trouble. I am bringing out something. Therefore, this is again one of the problems with testimonies. If you are in distress, now listen to this, you are in distress and you cry to God, He will hear your cry. And no matter what rubbish you do along the line trying to get results, He will still bless you. What I mean is this. If I say, God, you know I need to pay my rent. God, you know, and I pray. And then I go to church, somebody says, hey, jump up 5 times on one leg. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And say, I claim it. And you claim it. That doesn't annoy God. Then one say, listen. As I spoke that word, somebody should connect with it and say it's my own. With an offering. If you have 5,000 right there, bring it forward. And you take the 5,000, God will still, look, that is, all this one you are doing is subsequent upon the fact that you had cried and begged. And He had what? Heard. And none of the things you have done is evil. Jumping on one leg 5 times is not, it's not evil, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just one of those things. The problem is that not understanding the love of God. 2 days before the rent was finally supposed to be paid, suddenly money appears, you paid. And when you're going to give the testimony, say, brethren, that day as the man of God was saying, jump on one leg, I said, Lord, what you don't know is that before you left your house, God heard you. Your father knows that you need these things already. Sometimes, actually, all right, God will, for one reason or the other, tell you, jump on one leg. And the reason why He's saying that is because He knows you're a very stubborn person who feels so cool with himself and who will never jump in praise to God. And God said, very good. My chance to make this boy jump. No, I'm telling you. And because you have to understand the way spiritual things connect. A proud man, oh God, read my book, what they call, Great Faith Can Be Yours. A proud man can't have faith. He can read all the books he wants in life. If he's proud, he can't have faith. There are those that God will rob. Listen, as a young man especially, if God disgraces you, don't be angry. You are going on the road, you are feeling cool, a policeman slaps you, don't get angry. Ask yourself, why should a man slap me? Father God, well, I guess I felt my face could never be slapped. To you be the glory. Don't slap him back, he might shoot you. Don't bother. Listen, let me tell you this. If he were to slap you and God didn't command it, his hands will get crippled. I'm not going to bring us something. Sometimes God disgraces his children that he might bless them later. You have been told, this guy is hot, you are hot, you are hot. Fine. The day of exam, you will suddenly go and enter one bus. Do you understand? That will go and drive rough. Where one mopo that didn't sleep yesterday was mounting the checkpoint. So the man is in a bad mood. So tell the boss, pack. Cut the long story short. You are 30 minutes late for the exam. With all the wisdom and knowledge in your head, you fail. Don't be angry with the policeman. It's like God said, this one, you think you are smart. Let me show you that the heavens and the earth, they are mine. No, I'm telling you the truth. That the heavens rules in the affairs of men. There are times God wants to prove those things to people. And having made this point, because one of the things I will explain is this part of the walk of faith. I told you about giving and walk of faith, very important. Yeah, there's a story I've told a number of times, and it's inside one or two of my books. Archbishop Benson, that was one day a man walked up to him in church and said, I've been saving for a car for the last 3 years. The money's not yet complete. Archbishop said, for 3 years saving for a car. Where's the money? He says, at home. He said, go and bring it. But the guy came with the whole money he had saved for a few years. He said, see that offering basket? He said, drop it inside. The man dropped inside and said, go. No prayer, nothing. Just to the man, you can go. A few months from that day, the man had enough money to buy his car. This is the problem with testimonies. If you hear this just like that, and I want your money, I just get out and say, so you will be leaving God for a car for 3 years? How much have you saved up? All of you rise up and in your heart say, God, I have saved up 15,000, 20, 50. As much as you have saved, I'm waiting here on Monday morning. I will collect it from you and bless you with oil. All of you will bring it. I know. Most people will bring it. That's the problem when you found doctrine on testimonies. It seems so real. What you don't know that you didn't get the real story. What's the real story? I'll tell you. In that particular man's story, I don't know the details, but from my spiritual understanding, let me explain some things to you. Did you like the kind of thing that was happening in his life? He was relying on the arm of flesh. And the arm of flesh was failing him. What God did for him through that man was to deliver him from the arm of flesh. Do you get the point? So God, you see, because that's what he meant by believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. That's what he meant. What happened was that this man delivered him. Let me tell you something. That's why you find that God used to say, sell all that you have and do what? Give to the poor. Now, let me tell you something. If these days, we preachers, we direct people to go and give to the poor, all right, we'll be more balanced in our teachings. Because we'll stand to gain nothing. Do you get my point? Because what Jesus will do then, simple. This man, he's been working for eternal life. Working for eternal life. And Jesus said, wait, what's going on? Why has he not gotten it? You know the commandments, I know all of them. Have you kept them? He said, every single one. So Jesus thought for a moment, and then he looked at the man, oh, rich man, I understand. He hasn't learned the real lessons of life. I need to teach him the real lessons of life. He said, you know what we're going to do? We need to strip you of riches. It is not as if you are using your offering to buy from God. But this is for you an encumbrance. Therefore, it says, sell all you have and give to the poor. Listen, he may as well have thrown it into the river Euphrates. For all that Jesus really cared about under such circumstances, what he wanted was the man to be free to serve God. He just wanted that fellow to be free to come and follow him. Let me tell you the truth. What God wants is the heart that follows him, not the heart that gives an offering. When the heart is following, he can give anything when it is necessary. Do you get my point? That's why people don't understand about testimony. They don't know that each time there's something that God wants to do. I always give as an example. The widow of Zarephath, she gave what? Her last meal to Elijah, and she got everything. What about the other widow, the wife of the prophet that died, that went to Elijah, the son of the prophet, and she had two sons, and they are taking her sons away as slaves. What did Elijah ask for anything from her? He said, what do you have in your house? She said, he said, now go back to that house. Shut the door. Why don't we do that? I said, as many of you as are broke today, go into your safe, shut the door, and begin to bring out the money. You know, we don't do that one. But both of them are the manifestations of God. Listen, it is as infrequent for the other one to happen as it is for the widow of Zarephath one to happen. That's why you have given your last meal and you have gotten nothing. Are you getting my point? Because we have tried to build our doctrine on a single manifestation. The problem with the story of one single testimony is that there are so many things about it which is not clear to each person. And God uses that experience for one person's life at a particular point in time, and it cannot be copied by everybody. Do you get my point? I have noticed something. I'm sorry. I don't like being critical, all right? It's just that I just have to help children of God and balance things out in their lives. There's something I've noticed about people who try to collect offering. They always tell stories. Go and check it. Go and check it. It's always stories. I was here. One man did this. And then he got this. I was there. One man did this. And he got this. There was one man. I collected his car. He got 5 new ones. There was one woman. He gave me her last meal. And then he'll tell all the stories. It's always stories. Always stories. Always stories. Why don't you just simply get up and say, brethren, this is a serious work. And I'm going to come down to that later. All right, Christians are meant to be faithful. Let me tell you something. One of the people that God will judge for the lies that some pastors tell are the people that hear them. Let me tell you the truth. One of the reasons why pastor tells lies is because the church is very wicked. Because the man wouldn't tell the lie, you wouldn't drop the money anyway. So when God is going to judge for lie telling, both the man who told it and those who motivated him by their stinginess into lying, both of them will share the judgment. There's a book I'm working on. It's titled, So Who Will Pay For This? I want to explain to Christians. All right? We must be responsible. You know, you just have to be responsible. You know, one of the things, a lot of people don't understand. Kesley, remember the first time I went to Bin to go and do a seminar? I asked you a simple question. I said, how much do you think this seminar cost us? And I told you we were paid about, is it close to 70,000 or 100,000 naira for a 3-day seminar? And all of that. He was surprised. This was many years ago. I said, remember, Kingsley, you didn't get any offering. I mean, like, we didn't pay him any honorarium for coming. Just he and I that went from Enugu. All right? The other brethren in Benin helping us out. I said, you're not on a salary. I am not on a salary. There's no travel allowance. I said, but in all honesty, we should get it. Listen, the fact that I go and slave for medical students, consult in a hospital to feed my family, you know, me, my wife, and my children, doesn't mean it's the right thing. It doesn't mean it's the right thing. As people tried to argue before, that why shouldn't the man of God work? You are stupid if you ever say that. You don't consider what I'm doing here work. Ask my wife how much I slave at home. There are times you'll be saying sorry for me. I preach almost every day. Don't get paid a dime for it. You don't think it's work? No, I'm not joking. I preach almost every day. Almost every day. Most of the things you hear on radio, I finish preaching them. I will have this. I say, please, I'm busy. I'm in the study. It's like, you have followed me before to go and drop city in Cosmo. You don't know his work? I'm talking to them. I say, look, all this we have done. You and I are getting no pay. He drove from here to Benin. Oh, did we pay hotel bills? We stayed in my father-in-law's house. And my mother-in-law is such a hospitable person. We were treated like kings. No hotel bills. Olisemeka. When we went to Owerri, we spent 100,000 naira on bills, feeding and hotel bills. To go and do seminar. Some people just think that those things just float for free. Daddy, when I finished totaling for Kingsley, Kingsley was surprised. You don't blame me. Now he knows. Now he has seen real life. That time he was a student. Now he has a wife. He has to pay rent in Abuja. So the guy is sweating one day. Why is it? He has to pay rent. And they gave him bill for a two-bedroom flat. He believed God some more. Now, then they explain something. But then when I say, ah, I say, listen, look at how much you have spent. And we, you and I, have not been paid any allowance. We have stayed. You know, we left a blessing in the house. Though they are my in-laws. But the fact is that when God is sharing the prophet's reward for that activity, they have to get their portion. A lot of people don't understand. God literally does not rain money from heaven. He doesn't rain money from heaven. What does he expect? He expects that you and I, we pay for it. That's it. A lot of pastors, you know what they tell lies and tell stories? Distress. Now, I'm not justifying anything. One day, when God gives me an opportunity, I will talk to young pastors. One of the things, you know the reason why the world is in an economic crisis? Everybody, this is not even revelation. I've heard economists say it. Before this crisis began, when American dollar began to lose value, George Soros said it. He said the problem is that the Americans have overextended credit. He explained it then that the problem was that people had overextended credit. I'm bringing an issue. Man of God, listen also. One of the reasons why your ministry will fall into distress is when you overextend credit. What do I mean? You start indulging in things that you don't have the resources for. Let me tell you the truth. Some of you sitting there, I'm sure you are not too comfortable. We try to put fans here. In fact, somebody sent us fans today. I bless the person, except that because of comfort, we just bought fans. They installed the fans, finished installing two new fans here. That one is new. This one is new. All right? Just so we can be more comfortable. This is not really very comfortable. We shut all those windows because of noise. We're on the major road. You know what I would love to do? I know what to do. Now, to make everybody comfortable, I put sliding windows here also. Shut all the windows. Air condition the place. The problem is that means we have to have a big generator downstairs. This is Nigeria. Olayinka and I went to price a 16 kVA generator today that's not silenced. It's 1.2 million naira, they told us. I am not going to even believe God for it. If you want to believe God for it, God bless you. Banky doesn't do such things. He said, you don't have it. You see, one thing I don't have at least is confusion. I will let you sweat. Sweat. When God has prospered you, then surprise me with it. I'm telling you. No, the reason why we have not put air conditioners everywhere, we can buy air conditioners. You know, like, because, you know, Yinka is not around. I was telling you today. I said, there are things that God has allowed me to stretch my faith toward. That is like, I don't pray much about them. For Kingdom World Ministries, to buy ACs, we don't pray too much towards it. It's not that we don't pray, we believe God all the time. Alright? But this is, you know, the good thing about it is just buy one at a time. Costing about 30,000 naira. We can't do that. Bit by bit. We pay Cosmo FM all the time. From this next month, I told you our broadcast bills will go to 20,000 naira a month. And I'm not feeling bad about it. It's like a case of David and Goliath. He said, can you kill him? He said, I've done it before. You sure? I've done it before, sir. I took a lion, took it out. Took a bear, took it out. They were looking for trouble. This one too has come looking for trouble. There are things experience has told you. Let me tell you something about faith. That's one of the things you do. You build your faith gradually. You've never driven a car in your life. You want to believe God. It's an E-Class, E350, 2009 model. Fine. Maybe you have that faith. Banky hasn't got it. But I don't believe you have it. Because if you had, you'll have used it for a Jetta last year. You don't have it. You're fooling yourself. That's why you have to give seed towards it now. Because that's the only thing you can do to fool yourself and me. That you have faith towards. Doesn't mean God doesn't do such things. He does. I told you there are two reasons he brings things into people's lives. Number one, because they ask for it in faith. Number two, because they have sown the spiritual seed in previous times. For such big things that are bigger than you, better be sowing spiritual seed all the time. That's why God will surprise you with it one day. I'm not talking about, don't ever extend credit. If you walk in now and say, "Oh God, this is a generator, 1.5 million. Don't worry, just be paying small, small." I say, "Carry your generator back, okay? I don't believe in stress." Do you follow my point? I don't believe in stress at all. There are many things I would like to have personally in life, but I'm not having them yet because I don't believe in stress. You say, "What do you mean?" Go and read that Mark chapter 4. God said that when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Anything that you have to sweat over, it's not yet a season. I say boldly, I graduated from University of Benin as a medical doctor in 1991. I did not drive a car I could call my own until the year 2000. I never had one. I used to go around proudly wearing my shoes. "You don't have a car?" "No." I remember once that one said, "Pastor, how come you don't have a car?" In my mind, "Why I don't have a car?" "You are looking at a handsome preacher like this. He doesn't have a car. You're asking why? Is it not money? Which revelation do you need on earth to explain why a beautiful young man doesn't have it? It's cash. I mean, that it was just simply cash." I said I couldn't drive. I didn't want a car that I would drive for 2 days. The car would drive me for 3 days. A colleague of mine bought a car like that. 2 days you drive to work. Zoom. Boom. After that, I said, "Where were your motor?" Say, "Day for mechanic. Did they change one bushing under it?" "Okay, fine." One day, the mechanic drove the car to the office. He said, "Hello, please, where's Dr. ABC?" I said, "Ah, he just left. Maybe you come back tomorrow." He came to return his car. Then 10 minutes later, the mechanic came back. He said, "Can I park the car here?" I said, "Why suddenly did you change your mind to park it here?" He said, "Actually, after I left you, I tried to put it in gear and not re-enter." Two days in, 3 days out. I said, "No, I don't want that kind of thing." I said, "If I enter a bus and it breaks down, no be Lagos. You just jump down, cross the bridge, enter the next bus. If you're in a hurry, you jump down, take a bike. Nothing spoiled." But to start buying car that I could do, I said, "Nah, lie. A decent car was too expensive." One of my friends said, "Banky, this one you're planning to get married. You should try and buy a car." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's very important. I want to drive to your in-law's place." They said, "This is dog's car." You know, people's mentalities differ. In my brain, it didn't register. What is wrong with me? Don't they know it is me when I come? Must they use the car to identify me? I said, "Okay, how do I get money for this car you are talking about?" "You and I work in the same place. You know the money we earn." He said, one of them said that, "You have to start giving out as much money as you." I said, "Hey, look at you, agent of Satan." I didn't tell him that on the face. It's just inside my heart. All right? You see, that's why Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You see, my time is going, but I should introduce that matter of faithfulness I wanted to talk about. Actually, that's what people don't understand. It's when you don't understand the person of God, you start making decisions like that. Each day, there is what you are supposed to do. And this man was telling me to stop performing the function for the day so as to get something that belongs in tomorrow. I don't know whether you get the point. I was supposed to rob Peter so as to pay Paul. I said, "No, you want to encroach into what is not my own." Let me tell you something as a believer. Christianity has life in it. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. God will reveal. See, he said, "I will put my law inside them so one will not have to tell his neighbor, know the Lord." There was something he was trying to explain. Listen, let me just say this one. Let me use it to start this and then I'll develop next time about faithfulness. All right? This is faithfulness. To know what belongs to which portion. All right? And to apportion it appropriately. I said something that God said when we're reading from this 2 Corinthians here. God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me start from verse 7. They said, "Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, is scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness, that is that given to the poor, his righteousness abides forever." Now, this is where I'm going, verse 10. He said, "Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will multiply and supply your seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Don't forget that what he called righteousness is what? The giving to the poor. Do you get my point? He said, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. That righteousness abides forever. He now said, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will multiply and supply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of the good works that you have done. That's what he called righteousness. Now listen to this. What he was saying there in effect, that everything that God gives to you has basically two portions in it. But I divided one of them into two, thereby giving us three. The basic two portions are this. Seed for the sower and bread for food. Seed for the sower is that which you plant. Listen. Both spiritually and physically. Is that okay? Both spiritually and what? Physically. So, the one you plant physically is one. The one you plant spiritually is another. Then the one you consume is bread for food. This is life. Listen, Christianity. As you develop spiritually, alright? God makes it clear to you what is seed for the sower and what is bread for food. He will make it clear. Let me explain something. Let me say this, number one. Basically, everything you own belongs to God. Every single thing. Not 10%. Every single thing. One died for all. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That those who live may no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Every single minute, every single naira, every single portion of your life belongs to God. You are supposed to administer it faithfully. Occupy with this until I come back. Your life, occupy with this until I come back. Your money, occupy with this until I come back. You must know what to do. He said, blessed is that servant who knows how to give the appropriate portion to each person at the appropriate time. Listen, God brings responsibilities your way. There's basic responsibility for every Christian. You know, basic training. So make sure you give at least 10% of your income out. It's basic training. It's not a commandment. It's basic training. It's basic training. A responsible person does not need anybody to put pressure on him. Let me give an example. I am actively involved as a person in about 4 different Christian ministries. Kingdom World is just one of them. Other ministries or organizations or different Christian work, all right? At least. That doesn't include 1 or 2 charitable work that in our family, we make sure we are a part of. I know the rule. I give to my parents-in-law, regularly. It's a rule. I don't care who's poor, who's rich. It's Christmas time. My wife and I have been breaking head. I'm telling you. Listen to me. With all of this, if you have to preach to me that I'm owing God 10%, I think God should just shoot me and let me die now. The problem with Christians, where you have to beat them over the hell, ring your tithe, is because they are very selfish. The only way the pastor can get anything out of them is that threat. I'm going to release the devourer after you right now. The fact is that, listen, for some of what I said, they're not ignorant. When you have realized that these things cost money, you go to a church, depending on the kind of church you go and the kind of things people do, you can see it. These things cost money. It is forbidden for you to go there, chop everything, dust your hands like Bishop will say those days, and then Waka come out and say, "May that was great." You didn't ask yourself, what greater that thing? You didn't just apply out of the blues, just appears from somewhere out of the blues. No matter how poor you are as a young man, young woman, and you're working, I don't care how rich your father is, periodically take a gift to him. You must. You must never eat and be satisfied when your father is hungry or your mother is hungry. It's forbidden. You will share the food. Thank God for GSM. Call home. How is everything? Has daddy taken his medicine? When did it finish? Don't look like everybody must. Listen, my friend, they are your burden also. You can't be doing a mojai driving big car. When you go home. One brother told me a testimony the other day. And I call it a testimony because this kind of thing I call testimonies. He called me one day and said, Oga, I buy a new car. So when I saw in church, I said, this is very nice. He said, sir, there was something you said some time ago. I said, what was it that I said? He said, don't worry about that. But this was what I remembered from what you said. The car I was using before, he said, the person who bought this car for me, I'm owing him 370,000 naira. I paid a portion of it. It remained 370. He said, the car I was using, somebody priced it for 400,000, the older one. You know, it makes sense. Sell it and pay off. He said, but I remember what you said, and I have taken the car, and I'm going to give it to my father. He said, that 400,000 naira, man, the thing was tempting. I said, my brother, that is why it is called temptation. That's why you must resist it. It is temptation. The fact that you want to do it is why it is called what? Temptation. I said, Satan, that guy who offered you the money is an agent of Satan. He was sent to go and tempt you. And Satan tempted Jesus. You know that? He's not a wicked man. Most agents of Satan are very nice people. I said, stop being afraid of witches. Witches are not. The people you should be afraid of are the nice guys who don't mean any harm. It's not their fault. Even Peter, who knows, was an agent of Satan at a point in time. You won't die over my dead body. Will anybody do anything to you? Peter, Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. But when I say agent of Satan, I don't mean wicked people. The brother told me, he said, sir, it was tempting. I said, that is why it is called temptation. You are meant to do what? Resist it. He said, yes, I agree with you. He said, I heard you say something some time ago. So, I will be paying this other guy small. At least that was the agreement. I didn't tell him I'll pay him with this one. What I'm saying is that he's doing responsibility. He's not cheating one man to pay another person. He said, but this car, I ain't selling it. Went home. He said, I'm giving it to my father. I'm trying to bring out something. You know, I'll talk about how to give to God. All right? I've not been able to get to it because of this is what I say. Because you will understand that that gift to his father is a gift to God Almighty. It's a gift to God Almighty. It doesn't have to be a poor man. It doesn't have to. Your father doesn't have to be poor. He doesn't have to need it. There are those you give to because they need. There are those you give to because you are commanded to honor them. There are some gifts that are honor. When you go to a king, he's not hungry when you carry your goat. As you know the way it is. You go to a king, you're supposed to bring a gift. Solomon became rich partly by doing business. I found that in the scriptures. But most importantly, by the gifts that people brought to him. They will see that this man is rich. They will still be fighting to give to him. It's called honor. There are people you are supposed to honor. I'm not doing something. There's seed for the sower. There's bread for food. All these things I've put together is what is called seed for the sower. That's spiritual seed. Then there's physical seed in which if you're a businessman, your business will expand. My wife does business. In her little way, you know, I'm the spiritual advisor. I'm her pastor. I'm her husband. I'm her pastor, husband, consultant, prayer partner, intercessor, and the husband. The father of her children. And the direction that God gave her in life. When she's missing the will of God, all I need to do is speak. And she's back in the center of the will of God. As long as she obeys me. Everything that she wants to disobey, she enters into gallop. This is the point I'm making. One of the spiritual principles I drew from her from the beginning was this. Out of every naira you make as profit, you shed into three. A portion. I mean, a laborer is worthy of his wages. You will bring home and you will eat. A portion you give out is called spiritual seed or the priestly corner of life. And a portion you use to expand the business. You shouldn't be trading in one shop this year. In 3 years' time, you are still in that shop. You have not been prospered. Do you follow my point? You should expand. You had a primary school 25 years ago. What's wrong with secondary school? And if you had a secondary school 20 years ago, what's wrong with a polytechnic? What's wrong with a university? The first day I preached this message, somebody called me and told me about one particular university in Lagos, Caleb University. One deeper life man owns it. He used to own a secondary school. I said, very good. I like that. That's this physical seed I'm talking about. The portion you use to expand the physical thing God has put into your heart, into your hands. You are doing business more today. The business must grow. Stop. You don't need that house in the village. Hey, please, my brethren from Igbo land, take it easy. Listen, when God will have prospered you, you will buy the whole village when you need it. Why are you trying to make a point? Because your cousin has built a house, so? Wait till first. I'm telling you the truth. When you are prospered properly, one day you will now go there. You won't even build a house in the village again. You will personally develop the whole village. You will go there and say, hey, wait, all this one that everybody, you know, one thing I found when I came to the East, you know, in the West, we have a culture of urbanization. People tend to cluster in very urban places. When I came to this area, you just see a major road. Somebody will drive off and then use a plow to plow the road to, sorry, a grader to the doorstep of his big house. As long as you leave the big house, it's cocoyam here, palm tree here, what do you call it, cassava here. Everybody plows one small, grades one small road to his door. It's poverty. Listen, when God prospers you, the whole village, before you build your house, you will first do silivanchime for all of them. You know what I call silivanchime? You see these roads in Enugu here? Yeah, and that's what I mean by silivanchime. You first silivanchime the whole place. When you finish silivanchime the whole place, you will now build your house. That's the kind of prosperity God wants to give people. Stop harvesting when the thing is not ripe. You have one shop, suddenly you laid foundation. You won't go far. Pay rent. Double the shop. Pay more rent. Triple the shop. Manufacture something. Become great. Then you now wake up. They say land is going up. Don't worry. That's for poor people who are not increasing. The man who is being blessed, when the time comes, when they were selling the land for 25 naira, he didn't have. Now it is 1 million naira, you have 20 million. That's the kind of thing you should believe in God for as a believer. Are you getting my point? That's what they call physical seed. They say, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. God said, he that sows in tears. When he said that, he was talking about physical seed. Physically take your crop and go and plant it. Increase your business. He said, Nepa is not constant. Go home and pray. Say, God, give me wisdom. God will give you a wisdom that will make you make profit, even though Nepa is misbehaving. Then when you have increased, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and do what? Subdue it. Listen, before you can subdue the earth, you must first be fruitful, and you must multiply. What we want to do is that we get to the stage of fruitfulness. Before we get to multiplication, we want to start begging the earth for a bit of land, a bit of foundation, a bit of wall, a bit of pillar, a bit of roof, and say we have built a house. God said, no, be fruitful. Then do what? Multiply. Fill the earth, then you will subdue it. We want to subdue the earth we have not yet filled. Isn't that why we're having problems? Wait upon your ministry. Wait upon your business. One day, you will do one single deal. You will buy all the houses you want, all the cars you want. Next time, I'll develop that one further.